Mexican scientists today are trying to explain this 31-minute event as meteorites, electric discharges, ball lightning, or even balloons. Today, I talk with U.S. Navy research physicist and longtime UFO investigator Bruce McAbee after he discussed the Mexico objects with engineers at the FLIR company in Portland, Oregon, that makes the infrared camera. By the way, George, it costs $400,000, and that doesn't include installation in the airplane. Here now is Bruce McAbee.
And Bruce, of course, been on the program before.
There was something there, and this is not, although this is the first time I've ever heard of a case of radar and infrared, and of course you have to add in no visual. This is a radar non-visual infrared case, which makes it unique. Having looked at the video and thought about this for a while and calculating where the plane was going and how fast it was traveling, the problem with the meteorite explanation is meteorites just don't last that long, and they go a lot faster than any aircraft would. They wouldn't be pacing an aircraft. Ball lightning suggestion doesn't make any sense to me either, because even if ball lightnings for somehow or other were to be generated in this clear air atmosphere, no storms around supposedly, they wouldn't move at all. They'd just sort of appear and then disappear somehow or other, not lasting very long, a few seconds, and these objects, whatever they were, lasted for a long time. And the last thing is the balloons. Of course, balloons can last a long time, but balloons have a tough time keeping up with an aircraft that was traveling at 200 miles an hour. Especially something like circling an aircraft at 200 miles an hour. So I don't buy any one of those explanations. A fourth explanation that has been presented is some top-secret U.S. aircraft type of device. Some people have argued it was stealth aircraft. One argument has to do with stealth aircraft using infrared sources so they can keep track of each other at night. Of course, this wasn't at night. A stealth aircraft, guess what, can be seen in the daytime.
They weren't visible to the human eyes, but they must be giving off a lot of heat energy.
That's right. And one of the things that I'm hoping the engineers will be able to help me do, is find out just how much energy that would be. Whether we're talking about milliwatts or watts or thousands of watts, and that's going to depend upon trying to duplicate the image. Now, the situation where you have a very bright one side by side, and the two little images down beneath, there's a very faint halo around it. FLIR engineers told me that it was an artifact of the video camera optics. When there's so much radiation coming in, there are reflections around inside the optics that create spurious weak images on a focal plane array. And that turns up as looking like a halo around some very bright image.
Again, reinforcing that there was intense energy being given off by these objects.
Right.
And today, I talked with some of the people at FLIR in Portland myself, and it's very interesting, George, what I'm learning about the difficulties as you look and go down the series of images that I have in Earth Files, starting with the earliest image available and then going down. We'll call them the blobs, the first one, and then the two almost, they look like car headlights in the sky next to each other. And then later on, there are the 11 objects of various sizes. The question is, how big are these objects? And what I'm learning is how difficult it is in infrared to determine that, because infrared images, those images are measuring heat. And what Bruce is very interested in is the fact that the FLIR engineers have showed him that there is that very faint halo around the lights. They're super saturated, which indicates that they must be giving off intense energy. And if they are, to be able to find out what the actual size is difficult. And in fact, this afternoon, one of the engineers had hoped to be able to give me more information about what they were trying to figure out from the equipment, as they know it, what the size might be behind the thermal image. And they don't think that they will have more comment until next week. Bruce said that this is not uncommon when you are dealing with infrared, and everybody needs to have these copies of the mini digital video, which in this case, George, it is so refreshing. The Secretary of Defense in Mexico wants Jaime Maussan to get copies out to investigators and to the world. They are saying that they want help with this investigation. So we may, in this round, we may learn a little bit more from professionals in this particular case.
I got to tell you, the video, of course, Linda, available. You can see it, I'm sure, on earthfiles.com. And also, if you click the photo on the coasttocoastam.com website, you'll go straight to that video. It is spectacular.
Yes.
I kept watching it over and over, just trying to decide in my own mind, just what could these be? And, I mean, they look intelligently controlled, don't they?
Well, that was the distinct impression that the pilots gave to Jaime, and he was able to interview personally three of them, and he said they stressed with him, and he's going to release this transcript, I believe, they stressed with him that they felt that they were dealing with something that had intelligence and was monitoring them in such a way that it was, as you've heard in how many cases where people say, whatever it was, it kept the same distance between us and it, even if we tried to approach it, and then suddenly, like a cat-and-mouse game, on infrared and radar, they had back, front, and on all sides what they determined what they were being surrounded, but that the objects had moved from the 37-mile level to as close as 2 miles to the plane. And imagine, you're seeing this on instruments, and you can't see anything in the sky, and this was just late afternoon around 5 o'clock. And anything for people who say, well, it's got to be the United States experimenting with some sort of stealth technology, Bruce was emphasizing that if you've got a stealth craft and it's 4 or 5 in the afternoon and the sun is shining, so far, to everybody's knowledge, we haven't been able to come up with making them invisible that way yet.